title of my message is God Speaks One Way or Another. There are so many occasions in the Bible that God can speak in this manner and He can speak in another. And there are times where God began to speak and you didn't even know. The book of Esther is one typical classic story whereby the name of God is not mentioned, but the hand of God was very much described. And sometimes we don't see the hand of God, but He was doing it. He was doing that amazing work. So Job said this very clearly in chapter 33, verse 14. It says, "For God does speak now one way and now another, though man may not perceive it." And I was kind of concerned what God is saying through Job. And I discovered this revelation of God doing the work where there are times that God done visibly and there are times that God done His work non-visibly. That means there are two pivotal themes that we are looking at today. First of all, we know that God hides Himself. Isaiah 45 verse 15 says, "Truly you are a God who has been hiding Himself, the God and Savior of Israel." Wow! God hides Himself. Another scripture says, Psalm 77 verse 19, "Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen." You can't even see it. God was doing something, but you can't see it. But there's another part of the theme is that God is evident everywhere. Isn't it? And you look at the scripture that I gave you, Acts 14, verse 17. "Yet He has not left Himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your heart with joy." You know, there are a lot of times that you and I have, but we never acknowledge it was God's provision. Right now. And today you can walk freely and say, "Hey, I'm okay." You know, and we take it for granted that we could come. But how many of you know that it was God's grace that we can come? Somebody say amen. Amen. And you probably wonder why some of those people are not here. You know, Uncle Ken could not come because he had a chest infection. And he was hospitalized and was placed in ICU just last Friday. You did not know. But you see, you can come. And you should thank God for that. You know what I mean? And we have another brother, Ming Chung. He was hospitalized last week. He was not able to come for service. And he was there for 5 days. And he called me up. He says, "I nearly died." And today he could not come because he's on the restoration process. You understand what I'm talking about? Somebody say amen. You see, a lot of times we can come and we take it for granted. Some of us, we're healthy, we can come, but yet we do not want to come. What a sad thing. Be prepared what I'm going to say today. It's going to be a revelation for all of us. Look at another verse. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 20. It's a long passage, but I just want to highlight something here. Are you ready? Somebody say it. Amen. He says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them." We look around. We look at the sky. We look at the stars. We look at the moon. We look at all the... Our naked eyes could see. And that is a revelation of who God has been showing us. A philosopher once told me, an Asian philosopher, he says, "You know, Pastor Kelvin, when you shared with me the gospel," it was back in Malaysia, he said, "the moment you told me that the naked eye could see, then it dawned on me, because everything my eyes could see was made. Someone made it. Even the smallest needle, even the smallest little fur is made." Am I right or not? And he says, "When you told me whatever my eyes could see is made, when I saw the moon and the stars, which company made it?" I'm sure it's Jesus' company. Somebody say amen. Amen. You see, though God may see him hiding, but he is everywhere. Somebody say it. Oh, a beautiful word. You know, God is intensely desiring to be involved in your lives. Until you and I grasp this, you will end up missing a high proportion of God speaking to you. The unseen Lord is ceaselessly sustaining us and working in our lives and circumstances. We have a scripture in Acts 17 says this: in him we live and move and have our being. Where is that? Somewhere missing. Invisible. But he's there. Hallelujah. In him we live and move and have our being. Amen. You know what that scripture actually says in Acts 17? It simply says this: that God who gave us our being, who moved, that we move and we're able to talk and we freely begin to share and live. That means God desired to be involved in your life. Brothers and sisters, the Lord Almighty is so pervasive that he is intimately and actively and continuously involved with you and everything that touches you. Everything. If you look back in history, when you were a little child and you were born and now you've been raised up and now you grow up and you look at the steps and your parents will lead you to one school and then to another and to the college or to the universities and to subjects that gradually lead you on. Isn't it true? And then finally lead you to a place where, hey, that's where you found your wife. Hallelujah. Strange, isn't it? I'm sure Adelina come from Malacca. How in the world she was sent over to New Zealand and meet this tall, handsome-looking guy? How did it happen? Is it somewhere where suddenly said, I saw the vision when she was 10 years old? No, she did not. But it was guided. But there was an invisible hand of God guiding us. Somebody said, praise the Lord. And you see, we often find ourselves not seeing it. That's the problem. We never see God's provision. Every day you eat some food at home, we take it for granted. We said, praise God for nice food. We never take for granted what God has provided for us. What about your paycheck? We complain not enough, but we never thank God that we are given a paycheck. We never see God's provision in terms of his love, his direction, the good things that happen to us. We always complain about the bad things. We grumble, we gripe, we murmur over bad things. But we never understood that behind the adversities, God is involving something in our lives. And today I will help you to see that. Many fail to see God's involvement in everything. We remove God in our equation. I like what Isaiah 28, 24 to 29, chapter 28. In fact, this verse, if you read it, you'll probably wonder, what has that got to do with me? Let me read to you just a few verses in verse 24. He says, when a farmer plows for planting, does he plow continually? Does he keep on breaking up and working on the soil? When he has leveled the surface, does he not sow caraway and scatter cumin? Does he not plant wheat in its place, barley in its plot, and spelt in its field? His God instructs him, listen to this, his God instructs him and teaches him the right way. And then verse 29, he says this, all these also comes from the Lord Almighty, whose plan is wonderful, whose wisdom is magnificent. So when I read that scripture, I realized God is involved in the process of life. Are you there? The process of life. God is always in the midst of any processes that you go through in your life. But we have forgotten about God. And we remove Him from all that equation. And because of that, today the biblical thinking is so different from our current thinking. It is no wonder primitive Christians attribute to God to luck. Ayo, I am so lucky. Where is God? And if there is a challenge, cross my finger. I hope nothing happens to me. Cross my finger. Cross what finger? Where is God? Where is God in our midst? Our biblical thinking is not even there. Our primitive Christians today attribute almost everything to natural, random luck. Sometimes we come, we give little advices, people ignore. Do you know advices are meant to guide you to the right path? Sometimes people ignore little caution. We give pre-admonition, but they don't seem to be interested. But I notice Paul, Apostle Paul, in his journey, he faces all the natural dangers. But every time he faces them, he attributed to God's intervention. All his adventurous journey involves God. Brothers and sisters, sometimes in life today, we attribute to two elements of conditions or solutions. Let's put one example. A man stretched out his hands, the Bible says. The Lord told him to stretch out his hand, and the Lord spoke the word, and the withered hand was healed. Somebody say amen. And then you know what? The doctors and the scientists will probably say, yeah, that healing took place because there was a multiplication of cells, perhaps. And we could analyze everything from a medical point of view and how he was healed. But we forgot one thing. It was a spoken word of God and he was healed. How many of you know that God's spoken word can cause all the scientific research that you have, cause it to work to a point that God does the miracle? At the same time, let me illustrate my point to help you to understand a little bit better. If you see an oil painting, we will probably look at the oil painting and analyze all the different color schemes, all the different shades, the landscapes and so forth, and the beauty of the mixture of the colors. And we say, wow, this oil painting is so beautiful. But if you are a real artist, you probably look at the painting and ask, what is in the mind of that painter? What is the emotion of that artist as he was painting it? What is the purpose of that painting? What was the artist's intention when he put all these different colors? And that is exactly what I want to talk about today. We want to know the intention. We want to know what is in the mind of God. What is the very heartbeat of the Father in his emotion when that thing was happening? What is it that God wants to say to us? You see, church, we are so fond of looking at a problem and we react over that problem without looking at what God is saying. Are you with me? Today, I want to help you. Basic fundamentals for us to grasp. And one of them is this. God reveals himself. You see, when he revealed himself, he makes a distinction by separating the people who love truth and the people who do not want to have truth. He also makes a distinction by enlightening the sincere from those who are ignorant. He also reveals himself by bringing himself to show the conscience of our human being. Where one will have the conscience to have the difference between the good from evil and for those who have no conscience at all. God reveals himself to make understanding available for those who loved him. By means of that, the change of attitude should take place compared to those who has no desire to understand what God is doing. But Luke chapter 10 verse 21 says this, apart from that distinction, he reveals himself to the simple faith. Whom did he reveal to? He revealed himself to little children. He says this, at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, and I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things. From who? From the wise and learned, and revealed them to little children. Do you know that God reveals himself to us in our simple faith? You know why? Because Paul said this word in Romans chapter 1, verse 22. He says, professing to be wise, they became fools. You know why? Because there are a lot of people today who pretend to be smart. And they think they are smarter than God. And if you think you are smarter than God, listen carefully. You will miss the revelation of God's guidance. Let me give you one example. In the Bible, the Bible shows me right there in 1 Samuel chapter 4. And this is the army of the Philistines fighting with Israel. And Israel was camping on one side, Ebenezer, and Philistines camp at Aphek. And they were having battles. They organized their troops to meet Israel in the battle. And as the battle began to spread, the Bible says, the Philistine defeated Israel and killed about 4,000 soldiers in the field. When the troops came back to the camp, the leaders of Israel asked, why has the Lord used the Philistine to defeat us today? Let's get the ark of the Lord's promise, he's saying. Oh, we're going to take the ark. And as we take the ark, we're going to fight against the enemy again. You know why? Because the ark speaks of God's presence. So Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, took the ark. And they were shouting with a loud cry. And when they shouted, the camp was so noisy. And the enemy heard that shout. And they were panicking. They were afraid of Israel's ark. They said that was the God of Israel who destroyed the Egyptians with plagues. So they were panicking. Then lo and behold, there was a leader in Philistine. Maybe he attended Tony Robbins' conference. He was highly motivated. He says, don't be afraid, men. We shall fight with them. And so they did. And when the Philistines fought, though Israel was carrying the Ark of the Covenant, they were defeated and 30,000 foot soldiers were killed. Taking for granted, I carry the ark. I come to church. Everything should be okay. It's not about coming to church that makes it okay. It's about your everyday life. How you carry out yourself in the office. How you carry out yourself in the classroom. How do you carry out yourself everywhere you are. It's about your relationship, your connection with God. You see, we always think we are smarter than God. We take the ark and we say, everything should be all right. No wonder there are many Christians who are living in the defeated lives again and again and again and again and again. Why? Because we take God for granted. We're not listening. Something that God is saying, he's revealing himself. Why are we defeated? Something is wrong. Why are we constantly struggling? God is revealing himself. God is showing to us something. What is it? You see, God has hidden these things from the wise and learned, but he revealed to little children. You know why? Because little children have simple faith. They don't think they are smart, but little children shows their utter dependency upon God's grace for better understanding. If we don't have that, listen to me, we are in grave danger of knowing much and yet knowing nothing. I am not impressed when people quote me the scripture. I'm not impressed when people try to tell me that they know what the Word of God says, but they don't live with one. I'm only impressed when somebody lives as one. Don't take God and try to be smarter than Him. Look at Deuteronomy 29. He says, when such a person hears the words of this oath and they invoke a blessing on themselves, thinking, he says, I will be safe, even though I persist in going my own way. We are told in the earlier verses to be careful to follow the covenant, the terms of the covenant, so that you may prosper. A lot of people like the word prosper, but they don't like to follow the covenant. Brothers and sisters, God is speaking, but we are not hearing because we recognize only the words. Even while I'm speaking, you recognize some words. You recognize the thoughts. You probably know the desires. You probably understand the circumstances. But we fail to recognize God's operation, God's divine intervention. And constantly God is revealing Himself, but we remove God from the equation every day. And then we can see the invisible hand of God. And what happened? We fail to fulfill the plans of God. Every single one of you has the plan. Come on. Come on. Somebody knows that God has a plan. You did not see the plan because you can't see the invisible hand of God. Unfortunately, brothers and sisters, sometimes we wait until a very disturbing consequence, very disturbing consequence, not realizing that God was speaking. Then we expose ourselves to pain by rejecting God's wisdom. I pray that whatever the situation you see today, I want you to ask God, God, reveal yourself, please. We get sucked in with problems. How many of you know, as long as you are a Christian here on earth, problems is always there? Isn't it? Problem is always there. The question is not about avoiding problems. The question is how you handle the problems. You can't just say, God, please remove the problem. Sometimes God removes you because you are the problem. Do you know that? So don't pray like that. God, please remove the problem. At the end of the day, you found out it's you. So please, please ask God, reveal yourself to me in regards to my situation. This will lead me to the second fact. The second fact is this. God unravels His purpose. Do you know that? God reveals Himself and then He unravels His purpose. Now please, understand one thing. A lot of you here today will probably enjoy good ideas. But essentially, we need to find out the purpose of God that is attached to it. You may have good times. And many of us here today love good times. Some of you probably like to live your entire life just having fun. Don't want to work. Don't want to do anything. No sacrifices, no effort. You just want to have fun every day. Get up in the morning, have fun. Finish up in the evening, have fun. And then go home, you know, and then you begin to smile at your wife. You're happy with your wife because you have fun. And then when there's some extra work to be done, the face is gets uglier and uglier. Oh, why do I need to do that? Why do I need to do that? Because your whole life is all about fun. But do you know that even in times of fun, there is a purpose that is attached to it? Let alone adversities. When there is an adversity, we ask God, what is His purpose? You know why? I'll tell you why. Purpose determines divine reasons for the events that happen. When God reveals to me His purpose, I get to understand His divine reason. I'll tell you what happened. In the Bible, everyone knows this story called Joseph. Am I right? Joseph has his brothers who are envious, full of hatred. In fact, the Bible says they wanted to kill Joseph. Hey, at the end of the story, though he was sold as a slave and went to become a servant and then went on to become a prisoner, but the Lord began to show Himself to him, and finally he became the prime minister in Egypt, just next to Pharaoh. And when one day his brothers had to leave their homeland for food because of famine, they came over to Egypt because Egypt was able to store enough food due to the wisdom of Joseph. If it's not for him, they too will suffer. But Joseph had the revelation of God revealing to him in a dream. And so when the brothers came, he recognized the brothers. Did Joseph take revenge? I'm sure some of you would. You probably say, man, time to, these guys did to me. I'm going to do that to them. How many of you know the vengeance belongs to the Lord, not us, yeah? But Joseph did not do that. What did Joseph do? He tried to arrange the whole situation until to the point that they could bring the father over to him, that he can get to see his own father. And then he revealed to the brothers, he says, you intended to harm me, but God intended for good. What a powerful purpose of God, isn't it true? Some of you who are here, you don't even know that the purpose of God for you to be here so that one day you will be able to help somebody in your homeland. Don't even know, yeah? All we think about, what can I get? I don't get this. Oh, no fun, very boring. Life is boring. What, boring? I'm always getting excited with God. Why are you so bored? I'll tell you what. There is always a purpose for you to be here. I don't believe that God placed me here for no reason. I get an opportunity being here to help some of my loved ones back home. If I were to leave there, I will not be able to. Strangely, but truly. Why am I here? God began to reveal His purpose. Some of you may be looking just like Joseph being sold as a slave, and you probably be thinking, says, it cannot be. God, you are too good to do this type of things. And when you begin to look at the adversities, you begin to say, God, that cannot be you. Something is wrong. It's a good question. Something is wrong. Then you know what? Find out the purpose of God. It's very easy for us to miss the invisible purpose. There is a man, many years ago, those days I don't have computer, I invested in some videos from America, some great preachers, and I, lo and behold, a pastor recommended me this particular invited speaker for this conference, and I played that video in America. And this man is David Ring. And as I was watching him and listening to his talks, do you know I was literally crying? And you know, I cried because this man told a story of what he went through. David Ring suffers cerebral palsy. When he was a young lad, his father, who is a Baptist pastor, died. And he has to live under the wings of his mother, who loves him dearly. But 4 years later, his mother was taken away because of cancer. And now he is an orphan. His sister is much older than him, married. And he was so bitter against God, lifting up his fist. He can't talk. He says, I slurred, and I can't speak. People make fun of me. It was hard to live at the age of 14 years old. He never understood what was the purpose. He walked down the street. People poke and fun at him and ridicule him. He walks with a limp on his legs. The sister told him, David, please go back to church. He refused to go back to church. For 2 years, he suffered depression. The sister kept pleading, go back to church, go back to church, go back to church, go back to church. And so he went one day. He was going back to church, trying to prove the speaker that God is not real. A pastor's son. He sat there behind. He was waiting to speak out. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord in the church came upon him. He started to weep. He started to cry because he heard the message about God's love that you never could understand. So he cried and he cried. And when he came to the altar, he gave his life to the Lord. And he cried and he cried. And that was the beginning of a new birth in his heart. That the Lord was taking him away from the covering of his father and his mother. Because when a child suffers from cerebral palsy, you're always shielded. And God just, for whatever reason at that time, never could understand that God took them home. And now this poor boy has to live by himself. But it was during that time when he lived by himself, without the covering of the mother, without the covering of the father, he began to rise up. Brothers and sisters, David Ring is one of the great speakers today. And he got married with 5 children. He actually brought his kids up. He says, I may be having cerebral palsy, but I got normal kids, he said. He says, who says cerebral palsy cannot produce normal kids? He was joking with the people, and then I was like, Lord, what amazing work. You took his umbrella out, allow him to suffer the storm and the rain, and in the very right moment, you took him and raised him up to be one of the greatest speakers in America. You know, brothers and sisters, we never understood our purpose, isn't it? We complain about the storm, we complain about the rain, but we never understood the purpose. Joseph could easily put his fist up and say, what in the world is happening? I thought, God, you say I'm the most favored one, but now I'm a slave. What can I do? He did not complain. He just lived on. Until he became the prime minister. You know, brothers and sisters, we all need to realize that God's goodness sometimes is concealed. Proverbs 25 verse 2 says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. You and I sometimes could not see the wisdom of God. But it takes faith. Come on, church. It takes faith to look through and pierce through the darkness to see the goodness of God inside there. Isn't it true? How many of you have seen this Master Chef and they do all this nice icing stuff outside? You look at it with beautiful stuff, but what is tasty is not the outside, it's the inside. You and I need to see with the eyes of faith to see what is inside. There is goodness in the midst of your adversities. Are you with me? We need to see that with the eyes of faith. Sometimes you ask, God, where are you when I needed you most? Church, learn to see with the eyes of faith that peers into the darkness of your situation. And you will discover God's glory and God's goodness. I've learned that secret because that's how a pioneer would do. They will not look constantly every year with the number of people. I don't see the number. I see through the number. Somebody say amen. You know what's through the number? It simply means into your soul, into individual lives. I said last week, nobody is treated as general people. Everyone is treated as specific people with specific needs. Number three, this is a very powerful message. And it tells me that God desires His children to seek Him. God desires His children to seek Him. As long as the purpose of God is hidden, seeking God becomes necessary. Amen? To me, it's a heartwarming discovery, by the way, that God, when He hides Himself, does not suggest that God remains aloof. Does not suggest that God remains far away from you. Nothing thrills Him more than us having that faith, seeing through these disguises and the subtleness of situation. And we discover Him speaking. In fact, through the Bible, through people, through thoughts, through circumstances, through desires, through books, if you read books, through songs, through dreams, through billboards, through signboards, through nature. Hey, sometimes through movies. Amen? That's why I love to see true stories, real stories, through movies, but most of all, through the scriptures of God's Word. And the list goes on and on and on and on. God speaks. And there is a purpose inside. And God wants to encourage us to seek Him, to discover those things. You know, I know what God wants all of us to do. He wants us to hear Him out. Literally. He wants us to hear Him out. You know, there was this little story of this man came to the pastor. And this man was very frustrated. He was flabbergasted, as close to anger. He asked his pastor, he says, "Why God had not been answering my prayer?" Sounds familiar, isn't it? So the pastor, I think I should learn this as well. This pastor is so smart. The pastor mumbled very softly. And the angry man, he said, "Huh? What did you say, pastor?" And the pastor repeated very softly. And he came closer to the pastor. He said, "Pastor, did you say something?" And the pastor repeated again and said very softly. And this man came closer and closer and closer until so close that he says, "What do you say, pastor?" And the old man pastor says, he says this, "Sometimes God whispers until we come close enough. Sometimes God whispers, and the problem with us, we don't even want to listen. We missed out." You know, there is this great man, Elijah. You know, Elijah had this similar situation. And God wants to speak. You know, he's so used to this boisterous loudness, earthquakes, thunders. And all of a sudden, in the midst of his search for God, God whispers. You know why God whispers? Because God desires to foster alertness. God is fostering alertness. God is fostering expectancy. God is fostering eagerness within our own hearts, wanting to hear. "What, God, what did you say, God? What?" And we get closer. We seek the Lord. We want to hear. We really desire. This is exactly what God is calling His people to do. But many a time when we say, "Oh, God, you didn't speak." But God spoke. But we can't hear. And then we walked away. And so we missed out. Do you know many a time that God places in a situation and a location where we are not even aware that He's actually there? And He wants us to seek Him. You know, Jacob has this situation in Genesis chapter 28. Jacob was sleeping at the place where suddenly he was awakened. He says from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. And then he said, he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Do you know that Jacob was lying down there not realizing that there was a gate to heaven? Sometimes you don't even know that you are in a situation and God is actually waiting for you to seek Him because He wants to reveal. How many of you know that there's another person called young Samuel? Right? In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3. Samuel was there dedicated by the mother to serve the Lord. And so he was staying in the same place as the priest Eli. And one day he was lying down and the voice of God came and says, Samuel, Samuel. And he woke up and he quickly went to Eli and says, did you call me? Eli said, no. Nobody called you. Go back and sleep. And he went back. And the Bible said the Lord called him, Samuel, Samuel. I don't know whether it sounds like that or not, right? But all of a sudden, Samuel got up and said, went to Eli again. Did you call me? Eli said, no. And this went on the third time. And Eli realized God is calling him. And he said, Samuel, next time when you hear this voice, tell the Lord, your servant is listening. And now he went, and the fourth time, the Bible says, the Lord stood there. The Lord stood there. Do you know the Lord can stand in your room? The Lord stood there and called him, Samuel, Samuel. That means when he got up, he can't see. And Samuel said, your servant is listening. Brothers and sisters, how many of us today are living with such an alertness, expectancy, and eagerness to seek God's face and to listen to His voice? And I have one more illustration in the Bible. A prophet called Habakkuk. Habakkuk actually said this, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what He will say to me. Habakkuk is like a watchman. Says, I am going to look for God's invisible hand. I want to look for the sign. I'm going to stand there watching. I'm eagerly looking. I'm expecting. You see, church, that's the kind of seeking that God is looking for. Some of us here today, we spend 5 minutes. We come here, we stop, we walk away. Isn't it true? God is looking for eagerness. But there's one more thing. I want to share this. This is so, so important. Because this particular scripture, we often use it for finance. We often use it in business. Okay? What is that scripture? This is a scripture. Consider carefully what you hear. Be continued. He continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. We use that for finance. Then I began to see the scripture and I realized, hey, it doesn't just work on finance. It works on this. You know what it means? It means if you want to get the answers from in prayer, then pray more. You want to get an answer from the Lord? Pray more. If you want to hear something from God, listen more. Listen to the Word. Listen to the Scriptures. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That means if I devote myself to seeking God, then God all the more will reveal that revelation. Seek God. That's what he's saying. But the problem is that today we live in a society among Christians who are casually and lazily treating divine things. and they are lazy to seek God. So when they don't realize that God is working, they can't hear, then they missed out the purpose of God. You know, why do I say we need to seek God with that eagerness, expectancy, and the alertness? You see, the Bible actually showed us in Deuteronomy chapter 4, 29. Let me quickly show you. He says, when you seek the Lord, if you look for Him with all your heart and with all your soul. 2 Chronicles 15, 15 says, they sought God, what? Eagerly. And He was found by Him. Look at Jeremiah 29, 13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. But there's another scripture. Jeremiah spoke very clearly, and this is one scripture that all of us should not forget. In Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call to me, seek me, the Lord said, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Amen. Call unto me, seek me, and I will answer you. We don't seek God enough to hear Him. There are times we can't hear. Doesn't mean that He is not speaking. So oftentimes I find that we have missed out. We have missed the divine operation. We cut off the divine work by changing from expecting attitude into an attitude that says, who cares? And that is the problem. I pray today, God is waiting for you and for me to seek His face, because He wants to reveal Himself. And not only Himself, He wants to reveal His purpose. You see, church, we have a purpose. It has only one purpose. We are here to connect people back to God and be a blessing. Somebody say amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.